Hey, everybody. Going to talk about some good things around Christmas here. Some traditions, a lot of fun, and some Bible here. The story of the wise man, I think, is pretty cool. But I was thinking about my grandfather and how my grandparents had come to our family home when I was a boy. Mom would play the piano, grandpa played the fiddle. I'd play bass when I grew up. We'd have a great Christmas time like this.
Let's have an old-fashioned Christmas polka. Harvest happy holiday. Let's have an old-fashioned Christmas polka and throw our cares away. We'll gather round the old piano and sing all the songs we know.
I'll play fiddle.
I'll play my bass.
My old guitar will set the pace.
Let it snow, here we go.
And it was something like that. You know, we'd go some Christmases out to my Uncle Bill's and Aunt Elaine's in Dorchester, Ontario. And all the cousins would be there. And all the uncles and aunts and all family would gather into their unfinished basement. And they'd have a table 30 feet long or something. And we'd all be singing and enjoying each other's, you know, the kids would play. I got the jump on my Aunt Elaine's brother's snowmobile and take off across the fields. That was fun. And, but my parents and my grandparents, they were musical and liked this kind of stuff.
Polka on this happy holiday. Let's have an old-fashioned Christmas polka and throw our cares away.
And my mom played piano real well, could sight read. My grandpa played violin and old-time fiddle. He used to do all that. My uncle ended up being a square dance caller. Actually, Uncle Bill and Auntie Lane, maybe you're tuned in and listening, because they're still live out there in their home in Ontario, Dorchester. I think they must be getting their late 80s now. Merry Christmas, you guys. Oh, well.
Hey.
Yeah. So this is, it's just kind of cool, all this. And I wish we had that tradition. I'm going to try maybe to get it to happen this Christmas a little bit. Maybe Karen can play the piano. She can play piano, but doesn't much. And I got Grandpa's violin out there a few weeks ago because he gave me, I was the only grandchild that was musical. And so he gave me his violins, and I passed on the concert violin to my cousin's son, who took up old-time fiddling and shipped it to him. And it arrived broken, and they didn't tell me. I can't believe it. Because it was intact going out there. And we hadn't. I put insurance on it, so it wouldn't, if it got broke, it would be covered. But they didn't tell me. I didn't find out for a long time. Isn't that crazy? They thought I sent it broken, and it wasn't. Oh, my. Anyway, I got Grandpa's violin fixed up. And he had played it so much, he wore ruts into the fingerboard and that sort of thing. And I finally got a neck brace because it was so hard. He would play it without a shoulder brace, you know. And sometimes he'd put what they always did, to put a big hunk of foam up there in the shoulder or whatever. But I finally bought a neck brace for it and got new strings for it and did a bunch of stuff. So I'm trying to learn how to play it again. I'd learned fiddle tunes there years ago, and now I've become quite horrible. And I find guitar is a lot easier, but maybe it would be horrible if I didn't play it all the time. But, you know, this is Christmas, isn't it? Isn't this the fun part of Christmas? And I'd love to get another mandolin. I can play mandolin. Not bad. And then I had a real cheap one, and the neck broke off. So no mandolin. Was actually down at the music store, Armutus Music in Nanaimo. It's right across from Superstore. And looking at their mandolin, they had a really nice, I thought, used one there hanging on the wall at the end of the store there. And Karen and I looked through several of them. It was like $300. And it was from 1962 or something. And I thought, I like this. Should I get it? I like this. Should I get it? I like this. Should I get it? And I didn't. I was looking at the ones that were $150, $175, which are, you know, Chinese. But maybe, you know, Karen was saying, we'd like to give you a mandolin for Christmas, but not $300. So I don't know. But that one was nice. And being vintage, Something about me and vintage. I like vintage. But all the old Christmas traditions and the big meals and, you know, all that stuff was so cool. And in those days, you'd have a dining room that was separate from the kitchen and living room. And you'd set out the big table and grandma would get out, the cabinets and the china cabinets. We still got grandma and grandpa's china cabinets downstairs in our house now because they got passed on to us. And they would set up the china, right? How many of you have real good china and good cutlery? Well, we've got it. We got it when we were married. And I'm after Karen to say, like, let's put out the good china for Christmas, you know, and put the candles on the table and serve the food in platters on the table instead of smorgasbord style in the kitchen. I just something about that. I don't know. Am I an old relic from the past? How come we don't slow down and enjoy the moment, enjoy the company and all that we have? And then sometimes now what happens is, of course, you have a special meal and everybody's on their phone. And I have to say to the family, turn off the phone. Like, what the heck? Let's get back to being a family, everybody. And I'm of a mind now. I've been thinking about, what do I shut down in my life? I'm on social media. Not that I'm socializing. I'm watching stuff that's going on around the world and all that. And I'm thinking, I should just close a bunch of those channels off or turn them off. Just me walking with God. How about that? I know the Lord wants us to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves, so there's something about you know what's up, but whatever. Whatever. I like the story of the wise men, Matthew chapter 2. And there was these wise men from the east came to Jerusalem who said, where is he as born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. I had somebody ask me, how can they have seen a star in the east? But Jerusalem's west. Didn't they follow the star? And I said, no, that's not what they're saying. They're saying they lived out east and they saw the star. But the star was a conjunction of planets and such that was the royal birth star for the Jews. And when they saw the conjunction, and it must have been, you know, maybe from Babylon or Iraq, Iran area, and these wise men, these magi, they're aware of all the prophecies of from Daniel and Isaiah and all that because the people were out there in Babylon, in those countries. And they're going, this is the royal star. This is the star of the king of the Jews. We've seen his star living in the east while we were there, right? We've come to worship him. That's why when they got there, they came asking in Jerusalem, where is he? Where is he? You guys must be having a big party and a celebration. The king is born! And nope, no party, no celebration. And in fact, the news was kind of shaking everything. You're interrupting our world. I mean, King Herod was a puppet appointed by the Romans who were occupying the country, and the priesthood wasn't much better. They're the people that murdered Jesus, after all. And, the intrigue. And they consulted their writings, of course, and they said, here's the prophecy of Micah. It is written, you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least amongst the rulers of Judah. Out of you will come a ruler who will govern the people Israel. So Herod summons them secretly and asks when the star appeared, and he says to them, oh, clandestine of sneaky so-and-so, go find him and then come and tell me and I'll come worship him. But of course, that wasn't true, was it? He's going to kill him. But when they got there, they said they saw the star. Somehow this thing leads them there. And they come to the house where Jesus is. He's not in the stable more than a day, right? He's born in the manger, but he's now at a house. Because all the people from the census have gone home, right? And they fell down and worshipped him and opened the treasures, offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And then God warns them in a dream, don't go back to Herod. And they snuck around, avoided Jerusalem, went around another way. And Herod, when he found out, was furious and determines to destroy the baby Jesus. And an angel comes and warns Joseph in a dream. And they get up that night and they leave right then. Boom. And it fulfills, again, the prophet, out of Egypt I've called my son. And how do they live there? Well, they live on the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They had all the riches now, you see. Isn't that amazing? What a story. This is a fabulous rendition of the providence, the foretelling, foreleading, foreknowing, leading of God in the lives of people who know and love and serve him. Mary and Joseph, righteous men and women. And how God watches them, protects them, superintends them, uses them for his purpose. And in this case, parents of Jesus. Do you think the same thing's true today? I do. My faith is way up there. Oh, God, you are an awesome God. You reign from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And we're living in our own day of intrigue and blessing, of political instability and censorship and lying and, dare I even say, assassination and murder, like Herod did with the boys in Bethlehem. In our day, and yet there's God's direction, God's protection, God's love, God's provision, God's life, God's king in our midst, in our heart, taking you and taking me in the course of his kingdom, in the direction of his care. Even if it takes you to Egypt, he has all you need there. Our God knows you and knows your walk. He is prepared to care for you if you will let him be Lord of all. That's what it is. Our God is an awesome God. He's an awesome God. Imagine him, Mary and Joseph following the Lord. Now here's baby Jesus in a manger, the lowliest place it could be. And then they're in a house, probably a relative because Joseph was from there. Just a carpenter. Doesn't have much. And along comes a surprise of surprises, these wise men, rulers from the east, with riches that they lavish on baby Jesus, which is, of course, on Mary and Joseph. And that keeps them well, keeps them secure, keeps them well, lavishly provided. The care, the lavishing gifts for a king, for Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus, while they're in the foreign land. Fulfilling scripture and prophecy. God has a plan for you and me, if you'll let it operate in our life. Sometimes it looks like hardship. I can't imagine riding for a couple days, 3 days, on the back of a donkey down from, you know, Galilee, Nazareth area, down to Bethlehem, while you're just about ready to have the baby. Can you imagine that? Walking, dusty, rough passage. And yet that's God's will. That was God's will. And God's provision and God's way, God's fulfillment of God's plan and God's prophecy, God's providence at work. And it could be the same for you right now. Oh, well, you take another look at your circumstances and say, God, show me what I'm missing. Show me my misunderstanding. Reveal your hand to me in the middle of what I'm going through right now. Lord, I surrender my whole life unto you. You are my God. You are my king. I'm your servant. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. I'm your child. I'm your friend. Lord, I want to walk with you. And you walk along with them, and you see the most amazing, wonderful things unveil in your life. It's true. Lord, I'm praying for my listeners right now. We get in the flow of what this Christmas story is about. the wonder and life of God operating on earth, not only there, but flowing through the affairs of mankind and through our affairs at God's faithful people. And Lord, you're able to overrule wicked men and protect us from their wiles. It's nothing for you. You have angels assigned to each one of us that are sent forth to serve or assist or help the heirs of salvation, the Bible says. Doesn't mean we can tell them what to do, but serving us in your cause. Thank you for my angels, Lord. Thank you for watching us in the body of Christ in Campbell River. Thank you, Lord. You have a sovereign purpose for us in this city, what hasn't yet been met. Our eyes are on you, God. Your protection is here. Your anointing and blessing is here. Your love is here in Campbell River. Now we reach up and say, yes, Lord, we take it. We receive it from you. We take it. We accept it, Lord. Say, come. May your providential care shine down on all my listeners out there. I speak in the name of Jesus, an unexpected blessing come from the hand of God to you listening to me today. Something good is going to happen in your life you don't expect. And you're going to say, thank you, God. This was God that did this. I speak that to you. I say it. I prophesy. Something good is coming your way in Jesus' name. I don't know if it's personal, financial, health. God's able to make all things work together for good. Something good is going to happen to you through this week and through Christmas time. Lift your faith up to say, yes, Lord. And thank him even in the midst of the weird, hard things like the three-day miserable ride to Bethlehem. I just see a flow. God taking his hand with a blessing and a gift in it and tipping it out towards you, and it pours out on you. Here, my child, here's my love gift for you right now. I pour my love gift on you right now. Watch it work in your affairs. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. And you say, yes, thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, open the eyes of my listeners to recognize you doing it. And would redound to praise to the name of Jesus in our community. Let there be something unusual break forth. God, revival, visiting Camel River. But I don't think church revival. Don't think that way. Revival of believers coming into contact with Christ in a great way that they haven't expected before. Anywhere they are. This is what God intends for you. He is the Lord. He's awesome. Be blessed.